Thank you. All right, so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. See, Annika?
Yeah.
No, verse 7. Yeah, it looks like a 1, but it's slanted.
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
All right, so in most translations of the New Testament, they actually came from Greek manuscript. So there is a common Greek, and that's where most of the translation came from for the New Testament. Now, the word, the Greek word for measure is on. Now, this can also, so there's measurement, right? It's like a tape measure. But it can also be described as the basis of determining what is enough or not enough. Is it fair? Or is it acceptable or unacceptable? So no better judge to decide what grace or what gifts we all get than God, right? No better judge than that. God loves us all the same. He loves each and every one of us all the same, and He has a plan for all of us. Now, that plan has the same goal. You know, it's the same end game or what we're striving for. However, we each have our own part to play. You know, we're different. I don't know if you knew that, but you guys are different. You have different attitudes. You have different likes, interests. And He gives us different gifts to help us out in the part that we are to play. Now, if we're all the main character, you know, it'd just be like each movie would be very boring, wouldn't it? You wouldn't really know. It's just like this one guy doing everything, or one girl doing everything. It'd just be a one-man show. It'd get old, right? Because you need other people to support. Yes? Every once in a while, that's great, but would you want to see that all the time, or would you rather see a full band every now and then? But it is cool. He is very talented. Especially musicians are very talented. I have no talent in that. We need to look that up. Everybody has different parts to play, and we all should be supporting each other. I just now looked up and the lights aren't on. John 16, verse 7. Jesse, can you read that? Yeah, John 16, verse 7. So Jesus is talking about a helper, and who is the helper He's talking about?
What?
Jesus was talking about a helper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? So who's that helper? You have him. Who's that helper? No, it wasn't Paul. Good guess.
Amen. King James Version is a confusing version of the Bible.
Oh. So, about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's right. So, the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus' Spirit comes inside of us, right? To dwell inside of us. You know, our body is the temple, right? He dwells inside of us. He's there to
give us strength.
Give us strength, right? And what was his name? Jesus called him. He's a
helper.
He's a helper, right? He's a helper. He's there to help us, give us strength, guide us, run lines with us in case we're forgetting what to do on what we're supposed to do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. I don't know why I'm looking up there. No. Can you?
Ephesians chapter 4.
Yeah, chapter 4, verse 8. And this don't be a little confusing words. Or if you're not there, you there? Or?
No, I'm on 1:3, 4:5.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8.
When he ascended on high, he led captivity and gave gifts to men.
All right. So Paul's quoting from Psalms 68:18. If you didn't know that. And what that is, Psalms 68:18. Maybe Cassie could look it up quicker than finding it in the Bible. You already have it opened?
Yeah.
You want to read that?
Sure. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them.
All right, so King David is the one who wrote that Psalms. And King David's describing a victory parade. You know, it's one where you've just beaten the enemy, and now you're the guest of honor. Everybody came to the parade to see you, right? You ascended on high. Because why they're there is because you just triumph over the power. Yes.
Didn't they do that like after like a victory? They would have like a parade of like the soldiers. Like
right. They'd go through town. You know, that's what it's symbolizing. They'd go through town. Everybody. Cheering, ticker tape, throwing stuff, not mean stuff, just stuff.
Happy stuff.
Happy stuff. Joyful stuff. And actually, in the end, there'd be the conquered enemy, usually in chains, right? And it's because you were triumphant, and those who held them captive are now captive themselves. So, captivity itself is so that captivity itself is captive. I don't know why Paul wrote it like that, but it was kind of confusing to me. I don't know about you guys. But so because you've done all that, you guys now receive gifts. So Paul is using David's psalm, but he puts a little twist on it. He's describing Jesus's victory parade. Paul changes one word. He changes you to he. And he referring, the capital he, even if it's not at the beginning of the sentence, capital H in he refers to
Jesus.
Oh, God. That sounded Irish or something. All right.
Yeah, he was like, it was weird. He walked into the skate shop and he's like, "How you doing today, mate?"
He's
like, "Whoa."
What are you doing here?
Yeah, really. It was a rough
So when he, capital H, E, so when Jesus ascended on high, Jesus victory over death, right? He led captivity captive. Jesus took away the sin that held us captive and set us free. You know, he gave gifts, both talents and spiritual gifts are God-given. Now, it's awesome when somebody uses their natural or God-given talents to further the kingdom of God. And that is awesome. If they can combine both talents and spiritual gifts, it's great. But talents can selfish reasons. Now, spiritual gifts, this is the difference, is because spiritual gifts are not selfish, are never selfish, and is used to benefit others for the glory of God. So there is a difference, just in case you were wondering, but there is natural talents and then there are spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, 9 through 10, Max.
Now this he ascends, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He now describes, descended in, is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to...
That's all right. You're good. I could just let you just keep going. Right?
I could have read the whole thing. I don't care.
So many people take this descent to reference Jesus entering hell. Now, there is a Greek word for hell, which is the test. That's not the Greek word, but it's a place, so I feel like it's not a cuss word. But the Greek word for is Hades.
Wait, I thought that was the guy. I thought that was the like Greek god.
Also that. It's plural that. Or plus that or so you know why didn't Paul just say Hades? So the lower place of heaven can simply mean the lower places the lower places of earth can simply mean the lower places of earth. Meaning that when Jesus came to earth, earth would be much lower than heaven, right? When Jesus came to earth as a humble man, is more likely what he's talking about. Then he ascended back to heaven. You know, he did leave with us a helper. Right, what John alluded to, right, that he had to leave is a benefit to us. So he left a helper to help us, obviously, and also to teach us to help who?
Yourself.
Others. So Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, Cassia? Oh, she's gone. Well, let's just skip her for right now.
Which one? See it?
11 and 12.
Okay. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
All right. So this list of spiritual gifts. So these are the spiritual gifts, right? So this is a list of spiritual gifts. This is a much more condensed version than the one found in 1 Corinthians. And it's more as far as church leaders. I feel like the one in 1 Corinthians, it goes into individual ones, but this would be for mainly church leaders. So apostles. Now, if we're talking about the 12 disciples of Jesus, right, or the original capital H apostles, yeah, there's no more apostles. You know, back Paul would be talking about apostles, but be talking about apostles because they're dead by now, right? But the word apostle means one who is sent out. That's literally what apostle means. It's the one who's been sent out. An apostle, as we look here in the text, it does have a lowercase a. So Paul could be talking about those who have the gift to plant churches. Going out and being sent out with God's message and being able to go somewhere and start up a church in a new location. Now, prophets, You know, first thing what comes to my mind, I don't know about you, I feel like I think about people who will tell about what God is going to do in the future. You know, but they also are messages or tell messages of what God has done in the past and what he's doing in the present. The prophet is one who's telling a message from God. He's telling somebody a message to somebody from God. And it could be very edifying or it could be a warning, but that's what a prophet does. Evangelists. It's those who help bring people into the body of Christ. It's those who are preaching, you, let's say on the street corner, you know, they're talking about the gospel message, you know, getting people there to tell them about Jesus' free gift of salvation by grace through faith. You know, he's the hype man, if you will. He's getting people all excited and getting them into the church. Now, pastor can be also referred to as a shepherd because everything he does for the church is the same as what a shepherd would do for his sheep. You know, they feed the sheep, they nurture, they care for, and they protect from enemies. Now, a shepherd's task is not to acquire more sheep. That's not one of his tasks. He's there to protect the sheep he has. However, if the shepherd does his job, what he's supposed to, he has healthy sheep, and therefore, automatically, that flock will grow. Now, teachers, that last on that list, is very closely tied to pastor, right? As a pastor, you kind of would think of the pastor as your main teacher of the church, right? But the church is made up of many different teachers. You know, people who are passing along God's wisdom to others. You know, there's all kinds of people that just teach, even if it's just teach for one Sunday. Now, if these positions are filled with people who truly are following spiritual gifts, their spiritual gifts, what is their purpose?
To spread God's word.
To spread God's word, yes. Right? To spread God's word, anything else?
Can you repeat the question?
That what is the purpose of these spiritual gifts?
To further the kingdom of God.
Further the kingdom of God? Yes. And you do that by, and Paul uses the word equipping. There's another word what we could be used, teaching, right? Equipping, getting somebody ready. That's what equipping is, right? Depending for their task at hand. So you're preparing somebody, and you're also lifting them up, right? Edifying them, making them feel good about themselves, maybe, or just feel good about their positions, or, you know, picking them up off the ground if they fell down. So, you're all right. Is this to further the kingdom of God, to equip or prepare people, and to lift them up? Ephesians chapter 4, 13 and 14. Cassia?
Still turning around. Till we all have the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with the wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
Alright, so we may have different gifts, right? Let's just face it. Most of us don't have different gifts. Some of us don't have similar gifts. Most of us don't have different gifts. But those gifts are made, they're made to work together, to bring people together, you know, and to teach them the truth. newbies can be very gullible, right? They can be very vulnerable and very easily victimized. Kind of like little kids where you just throw them up in the wind and they just go everywhere, to and fro, right? Maybe. Yeah. If I could catch them.
Can I fly a kite like a little kid in a kite, you know, right up on a stream?
No bunny trails, but two-handed kites. Anybody ever fly a two-handed kite?
Like the this one? You hold the thing?
Well, you have two handles, and they're huge. They can pick up a grown man. But going to and fro, you know, you're just tossed about like a newbie, right? You're just very, you'll fall for anything. You'll fall for the easiest traps. So they need to be protected, don't they? We need to protect those people. And how we do that is we equip them. Or we teach them what not to do until they could stand on their own. Until they themselves can protect the new batch of newbies. Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16. Jesse?
15 16?
Yeah, 15 and 16. All right, so the main goal is God, right? Main goal is God. Keeping that in mind that everybody needs to do their part to get to that main goal. You know, if one part of the body doesn't do its job, if your right hand's not doing your job, it takes away from the other part of the body, right? The left hand has to compensate for that. But if it's all working together, if it's all joined and knit together, meaning that it could heal itself, that it could protect itself, you know, if we're all healthy, the body can learn, it could heal, and it can grow. Now, this leads to the question which many people have is, how do you know what spiritual gifts you have? Is God's giving you guys spiritual gifts?
You just should know.
It just
you
come to you.
Figure it
out. You know, there is a ton of books written on this subject. It's because a lot of people have a hard time figuring it out. Yes?
When God has his plan for you to have that gift, he'll give you that gift in that time and moment. Let you have it for
there. You're right. And there are some gifts what will grow over time. And there are some gifts that you'll have a little bit here. And then maybe you'll get a different gift for a different situation. Or it's the same gifts, but just in a different setting, if you will. But I did find a checklist. And Max, very close to this checklist. I thought this checklist was really good. So number one on the checklist on how to figure out what spiritual gifts you guys have is keep growing in the Word. Read and study your Bible. You know, learn as much as you can. Dive into the Word and just, you know, soak up everything you can. Get to know God. Two, along with getting to know God, is talking with God. Praying to Him. You know, asking Him to reveal what gift He has given you. Number three is patience on God's timing. You know, because it will come when it's supposed to come. And don't be discouraged if it's not revealed right away. Like if you go home, it's like, okay, God, what's my gifts? And he doesn't answer you right away. Don't be discouraged. we may need to repeat steps 1 and 2. Now take note of your passions or your burdens. I mean, you guys know what's going on in your heart, and you know what God's put on your heart. Do you have a passion to help little kids? Or not help little kids, but help older elderly people? Do you have a passion to tell people about God? Do you have a passion to just help clean up? Maybe starting with your room. Maybe. Cat, yeah.
My room is always clean.
Number 5 is serve wherever there is a need. See a need, fill a need. Took me a while to figure out where I heard that before, but it may not be your gift, but you don't know that until you try it. It's kind of like foods that you don't even think you don't like. You don't know you don't like it until you tried it, right? You know, maybe that's not your gift. Or maybe that could be right where God wants you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31.
How many times have you looked back at that screen?
Every single time. Every single time. I guess it's been a few years that we've been doing this. Oh, I forgot. You guys are in the Bible. Maybe Cassia, she got 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. She could look up quicker. Maybe. Or Jesse's probably already there.
Verse what?
1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. How does she type so fast? I don't know.
My mom just has footnotes that I can reference.
31. So is that, what does that include?
Everything you do,
right? It's everything. Give it your whole heart, right?
Oh, I hate the term try hard. Oh my gosh. The term try hard is so like negative, because if you're not giving it your all, then why are you trying at all? Like, you get it?
I know what you're saying, but I'm not very passionate about the negativity of that word,
exactly,
that
like,
term.
This whole thing right here is like telling you like you should give everything that you do, like all you got, because God's always watching and He knows what you're doing. And if you're fulfilling what He wants you to do, you're gonna be giving it your all.
Right. So you're not trying hard.
If you're not trying hard, then like, then why are you trying at all? Right?
Right. Sure. Yeah.
But like people are like, people use that as a negative term because they're like, oh, you're such a tryhard.
Oh, I see. I get, okay, I'm coming around what you're saying. I'm picking up what you threw down there.
So
yeah,
like,
because they're saying, oh, you're just a tryhard. Yeah,
yeah,
like, but
like,
you
well,
should be.
Of course. Like,
yeah.
Why aren't I?
Right. Yeah. Next time I'm going just lose it on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point. Now I don't like that term either.
Yeah.
I don't like people who use that term.
In a negative way. If you use it in a positive light, it's all the way you use your diction and your words.
Right. And that's why texting is kind of hard. Because
you can't
see the person's face as they're sneering at you. All right, so do everything to the glory of God and try our best. And speaking of that, is that need help with tables? So as soon as we're done praying, maybe we grab some candy. I have a dog to warm up.
I got some dog to warm up. I got three cats to warm up. I got
Got important things. You could die out there.
You look like you're ready to build a log cabin.
I want, that's what I want to do. I want to build a log cabin or a sandbag house.
He's gonna build me a log cabin. And he's supposed to just drive.
Yeah.
In a separate, much smaller log cabin.
It's
like just a dollhouse.
It's gonna be shacked by like one of those tough sheds from home.
Oh, you think you're getting a door?
No, we're not. We haven't closed. We haven't closed in prayer.
What the heck?
He had to do it. So, anyone volunteers?
Gary, why don't you pray for us?
I will pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for today. And thank you for these young adults that are here, Lord, just want to know about you more. Lord, I just pray that I do a good job, Lord, and that you speak through me and not me speaking for you. Lord, we pray for those who were not here for whichever reason, Lord. We just pray that you're with them and guide them today. Lord, we pray for those who have maybe injured themselves. Pray for my wife, Lord. Just a healing hand upon her bad foot and upon her good foot right now, Lord. Just be with her, Lord. And pray for those who are sick, maybe underneath the weather, or maybe had a procedure. Be with Kirby as he's a quick and speedy recovery for him also, Lord. And we pray that we just get to know you better. And that you're with us continuously. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am 13 and not old yet.
Yes,
me?
I'm not old.
You're not. Sorry.
So, y'all, use that as a flex for the rest of your life.
Because I'm not old the rest of my life.
I'm not old.
Because once it's gone, dude, once your kid age is gone, it sucks. Teenage years is by the time.
You're talking with your voice.